The text, as you've probably gathered, is found in the words of verse 2. When Isaac said, I know not the day of my death. We don't know if 2021 will be the day of our own demise. None of us know. We must live with that expectation that we could die at any time or any day of this year. As it was with Isaac, so it is with us. Now, some people think they can tell you about your death. They can even predict this, they say. But in reality, beloved, no one knows. But the all-knowing, omniscient God, he knows. When I was a boy, growing up in Tigers Bay in North Belfast, there was a wee woman in my street. She was a tiny wee woman. And she was a very stout wee woman. But everybody knew her. Her name was Mrs. Moore. Now, Mrs. Moore claimed to have a remarkable gift. She could tell your fortune by reading your tea leaves. This was before there was such a thing as tea bags. And you know, folks, sometimes the queue was halfway down the street outside her home. My own mother, in her foolishness, she had the tea leaves read by Mrs. Moore. You know the usual, you're going to meet a tall, dark stranger. And in the case of Tigers Bay, that was usually a policeman. And many of them did meet policemen. But this woman said to them, this is going to happen to you this year. You'll discover this in a short while. And she went over this whole list. And she really believed, and the people that were there really believed, that this woman had a gift. Like the prophets of the Old Testament had, only she was predicting the future. Folks, if you have anything to do with horoscopes, tarot readings, crystal ball gazings, whatever it is or whatever it's called, you avoid it like the plague. If you're ever in Blackpool, you'll meet Madam Gypsy Lee or whoever she is, and she will claim to read your fortune. Nobody knows. Nobody can tell you when you're going to die, when mortal life will cease. Only God can do that. And thankfully, that's hidden from us. Now, there's a lot of uncertainty among people about what happens after death. But there's no such uncertainty about death itself. One out of one die. Every man and woman that breathes God's air at this moment in time, if the Lord tarries, will die. We don't need to argue the point. Don't need to start a debate. There's undertakers, shops and departments and places all over Ulster and all over the earth. Whether you die as a heathen in the jungle or civilized man in the streets of the city, you'll die. The Bible says, as in Adam, all die. But even so in Christ Jesus, all will be made alive. Here's a journey we're all making one day. One day mortal life will end. One day we'll be prepared for our burial. One day we'll pass from this scene of time. Now the great question is, the only relevant and important question is this: how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? Can you face death with confidence and with assurance? Or does it terrify you? You see, for the Christian, there's really no fear in love. For perfect love casteth out fear. There's no need to fear, because the Savior has conquered death. And that's the theme, that just for a few minutes, not to be morbid or insensitive, but to look at four things, just four wee thoughts about death. First of all, death is an event that is solemn. There is something very somber about it. Over the course of our ministry, we've been in, or been at, a number of deathbed scenes. Actually been present when someone has slipped away into God's eternity. I remember standing with a family in Craigavon Hospital. The dear man was very ill. He was obviously dying. And the family were all sitting round, as you do, of course. And I noticed that this man, as far as I could gauge, looking at him as I went in there, he was already gone. The family didn't realize this. And I said to the oldest son, I said, "Brother, I think your dad has gone. He's away to Jesus." The family didn't realize it. The nurse ran in totally shocked. But it was the case. He had gone from them and they didn't even know. But it made no difference to the event itself. He was as dead as he was ever going to be. That dear man with the Lord, thank God. It's very solemn. There's not much joking carrying on when death comes. Someone said once, "We are not in the land of the living. We're in the land of the dying." It was the great Augustine, that early church father, who said, "I don't know whether we call it a living death or a dying life, but it will end someday." Severus, who was an emperor of Rome, when approaching death, he cried out, "I have been everything, and everything is nothing." All that he had, all the wealth, the power, the authority, the standing in the world, meant nothing. It was everything when he had it, but everything he had now in the face of death, beloved, was nothing. And so it is with us. This event that is solemn is very sure. This Bible tells me that it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. That wee phrase, "it is appointed," is a very distinct one in Greek, in the original language. It means literally, laid by in store. Think of that. It's not an appointment you can break. Not an appointment you can alter or change. It's steadfast. It's unmovable. It's unbreakable. It's laid by in store. And it can come very suddenly. My mother was an awful woman for reading the death columns, or the death columns, as she called them, in the Telegraph. "To see if there's anybody dead I know," she said. And what was an amazing thing, even in those times, and that's long ago, that's 60 years and more ago. Very often after the death, there was the wee word in brackets. It said, "suddenly." Because it was sudden. And it can be like that, you know. Oh, my friend, you may not get time to prepare for your death, to prepare to meet your God, to get ready for eternity. You may not get time. I have to warn you about that, because if I'm to be faithful to God and to the gospel, I have to be honest tonight. Sudden. And it's very sad too. In my church in Dungannon, I had a number of ladies, married women folk, soundly converted, soundly saved. But many of them married to men that never came to Christ, at least in my time. Some of them have come. Some of them did come, but many didn't. And I remember talking to a man one day, a fine man, a good man, standing in the yard at the farm. And someone that day, or that day before, had been blown up in a bomb and killed, not too far away. And I said to this fella, this man, I said, listen, if that was you, and I was thinking about this, I said to him, I was thinking about you when this happened. If that was you, how would I go to your wife and tell her he's gone and he never professed faith in Christ? And that was always a worry of mine. It really was. I was terrified that that would happen. There were two men in particular. In fact, there were two police officers. And I worried about those men because I was very fond of them both. Thank God, there came a time a few years later when both of them got saved. Both of them came to Christ, and they're still alive, although they're old men. But I now have this hope that they've made their peace with God, that their funeral, although it will be sad, it won't be as sad as it could have been and would have been, because they've came to Christ. And mind you, both of those men were very near death at some stage in their careers. In fact, one of them, for outstanding bravery, was awarded the highest medal that the Queen can offer to a police officer. I remember he took it down one day and he showed it to me. I said, you should be very proud of that. That's a great honor. But in order to get that, he had to rescue one officer and watch two others been assassinated in his car sitting beside him, murdered. But friend, all of that, listen, it doesn't mean anything when compared to God's salvation. There's nothing to beat the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross to ensure pardon and peace. It's never a joke about death. It's too solemn a thing. It can be too sad a thing. Death is an enemy that is solemn. But then it's also an enemy that is severe. Do you know why death exists at all in the world? Well, if you know anything of Scripture, of course you'll know. But here's what Scripture tells us in Romans 5. And it's found in the verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's why you die. What can be more serious than this, or more severe than this? Thank God for the believer in Christ. Death has been exterminated by him. Again, we read in the book of Romans, chapter 5, once again. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. God commendeth, not a lovely term, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, that's what we are, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath, listen to it, through him. Oh, the wonder of it all. While we were yet sinners, vile and sinful, lost and guilty and wretched, while we were like that, he died for us. Oh, for a righteous man, you would think some would dare to die. For a good man, some would dare to die. But while we were yet sinners, that's the lowest strata in Israeli life. That's bottom of the pile. To the Jew, to the Pharisee, that's as low as it goes, sinners. That's why they condemn Christ so much, because he ate in fellowship with sinners, publicans and sinners. But his death, and by his death, he eradicated sin for us. An enemy and a severe one. You think death is severe? You talk to a mother and father that has lost their child, and you will know what I'm saying is true. One day I stood in a house near the wee town of Benburb. This young father brought me into the bedroom. And lying there in a little bed at that time was one of the loveliest wee boys I've ever seen. 10 months old. Just a wee chubby, beautiful little boy. And he was gone. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I stood beside that child and his father, and I wept and cried sore. Such an impact on me. Oh, it's sad. But that child is with Christ, you see. That softened the blow. That made the difference. Folks, listen, it always makes a difference. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There's a lovely text in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. It's the verse 14, and here's what it says. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The works of Christ have destroyed the works of the devil. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, beloved. He sets the prisoner free. The devil's defeated tonight because Christ has died. Wonder of wonders. He died for me and for you. Something else about death. It brings an entrance that is sure. This is a doorway to heaven for the believer and hell for the lost. I was reading once of a group in Africa, a former pagan group, heathens, and they got saved. Nearly the whole village got saved. And never speak now of a dead Christian. They don't speak of that. They don't say they have departed, but they say they have arrived. And beloved, that's what they've done. Every man and woman that dies in Christ, every child dies in Jesus, goes to be with him. They have arrived on the golden streets of heaven. Fanny Crosby, whose life story I'm reading, she wrote some 9,000 hymns, but she wrote one that was so personal to her. She never published it until one day D.L. Moody asked her to testify at a conference. She called this hymn, "My Soul's Poem." Lovely words, so often we sing it in church. Someday, the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. And I shall see him face to face, tell the story saved by grace. What a triumphant entrance for the child of God, for the Christian. But what about the person that's not saved tonight? I have been at their deathbeds too. I have watched the ungodly die. And very often it's not very pleasant. But your entrance into God's eternity is just as certain as the Christian's entrance into God's eternity. The difference will be the destination. Heaven with Christ or hell without him. There's no purgatory. The Roman church used to have a place they call limbo. That's where the unbaptized children go. It doesn't exist. It's not real. And neither's purgatory. There's just heaven and hell. Today Jesus said to the old thief, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise today." Not tomorrow. This pernicious doctrine that's abroad today of soul sleep, where they tell you when you die, you just lie unconscious in the grave until the resurrection, and then Christ raises you from the dead and you go to be with him in heaven. It doesn't exist, friend. There's no indeterminate state between time and eternity. The rich man also died, the book says, and in hell. The moment death came, hell came. That's how solemn this whole thing is. Isn't it tragic tonight? But for the child of God, it's a glory. Not only is it an entrance that is sure, and an enemy that's severe, and an event that's solemn. Last of all, there is an exit that is settled. You see, don't have this idea that some of the modernists do and the apostates do, that God will not judge you for your sin when you stand before him. He'll just tell you that he loves you and he's forgiven you. And you'll just sweep through the gates of the New Jerusalem. No, you won't. If you're not saved, your destiny's settled. I'm glad the old account was settled. And it was settled long ago. Michael Faraday, that great scientist, was dying. He was asked to speculate on life after death, Faraday replied, "Speculation? I know nothing about speculations. I'm resting on certainties. I know my Redeemer liveth, and because he lives, I shall live also." That's the way to go. That's the confidence you need when you get to death's cold waters. You don't have to cross Jordan alone, praise the Lord, friend. With Christ in the vessel, you can smile at any storm. We'll get there. How different from the demise of the atheist and the Christ rejecter. As old Gandhi said on his deathbed, "I see nothing but darkness." All his religion was of no avail. And whether it's a dead Orthodox religion, or Hinduism, or Buddhism, or Confucianism, or whatever it is, and they tell us now almost most of the world is Islamic, they've all embraced Islam. By the way, Islam's the faith. Muslims are the people. Muslims, not the faith. Islam's the faith. Untold millions hold on to that. In spite of the fact that the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man, matter who he is, cometh unto the Father but by me." None but Christ, brethren, can satisfy. No other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. Tell me, in this little gathering tonight, this cold winter night, are you sure about your salvation? Have the absolute confidence that your sins are gone. Washed away in the crimson tide, the Redeemer's blood. I trust that you are. And if you don't know Christ, please come to him. For you know not in 2021 or any other time the day of your death. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. For his name's sake.